This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel. If you're going to be planning your next vacation, this is the way to do it. Go to Neverland.com. No, don't go to Neverland.com. The website is GoToNeverland.com.
I've spelled it before, but I'm not going to do it again.
G-O-T-O, start with those things. You can go from there. Hopefully you can spell Neverland. If not, we got
you're
more
not a Disney film.
We got more problems than we do answers. So the website again, GoToNeverland.com, get with the magic maker and plan your next vacation. Nice people. They're going to help you make sure you have a great time. They are experts, not just fans, and they are going to be a concierge service that you're going to love. GoToNeverland.com. Oh, and as Will likes to say, sorry, he was mouthing to me and I totally forgot, as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
Go to Neverland.com. And now on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, August 17th. Can't believe we're this far into the year. And this is episode 1526.
No. I thought it was 1524.
No, 1525 is with Tom Amin.
Oh, well, I haven't downloaded any episodes.
Well, thanks, Will. That's why our numbers are down. We're down now from 4 people to 3 people. That's not true to our advertisers and our supporters. I really want to appreciate all the people that listen. Numbers have been up recently, and we love it. And thank you so much for sharing the show with your friends. But it is episode 1526, Will.
You're right. It is.
Of WDW Today. And Terry is out, so you're not going to be able to hear his expert opinion and expert advice on a topic. And Will and I can't do it alone. So we said, we're calling up Len. We're doing a listener question show. Going old school. It's time for...
Hit the music.
It's time for listener questions with Len.
All right, it's that time again. It's time for listener questions with Len. Len, now, last time we talked to you, which, folks, just to ruin some of the magic, we batch some of these. We'll talk with Len for 2 or 3 hours sometimes all day, and we'll do all your listener questions. And then we cut them up and we put them in each show. Really, realistically, we do about 2 shows at a time, typically. This is a rarity. But I know you wanted to talk about, before we get to this, because Will and I now have done Frozen, and we've done Soarin', and we've done some of the new stuff there. And I know you want to save your reaction to Frozen for the air. So Terry's not here today, and he hasn't done it yet either. So let's talk Frozen for a second.
All right, you guys have seen it. Go ahead.
All right. Probably different reactions.
Right.
I actually really enjoyed it. I think I thought the queue was really cool. I enjoyed the ride a lot. I'm a Frozen fan, so I've said that before. I'm a Frozen fan, so I can't like be the person who's out there bashing it because it's Frozen. I like the movie a lot, and my family watches it all the time, so I have some emotional connection to it. But I like it. I thought it was a fun ride. For a boat, dark ride, fantasy land type ride, I thought it was super solid. My only big complaint that I had throughout it was the animatronic projection faces kind of freaked me out. And I didn't love that because I feel like they're like, they have like the Jack Sparrow movements. Like they have the kind of like really solid movements. That sounds bad. But they had really solid movements in the animatronics. But the face kind of threw me off. But overall, I liked it. I liked that there wasn't something super scary in it too. So for little kids, it was okay. But I liked it. Then we're going to get to Len when he crushes our dreams.
Yeah, I told Logan, first of all, the only way I would get on that ride was it would take something
supernatural.
Supernatural. And Riker wanted Uncle Will to ride on it. So that happened.
That's my son.
And I went and I thought the theming of the queue was fantastic. I love what they did with that. I thought the ride itself... was tolerable. I thought it was pretty good. It was short.
There's a ringing endorsement, tolerable.
Well, here is actually the weirdest thing for me, and I told Logan this. They spent all this money redoing it, redoing the queue, redoing the inside of it, doing the technology with the projections and all this stuff, and yet you still got the old rickety, like, clank, 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 clank going up. And that just kind of ruined it for me a little bit. I'm like, couldn't they have updated some of the guts of the actual ride And so, you know, I was already had a bias against it going in because I was such a Maelstrom fan, but it was a good ride. I'd tell people to ride it.
Short, though. That's one of the complaints.
It was short.
Short. So, all right, now ruin our dreams, Lynn.
You know, I kind of go along with Will. There are parts of it, and actually, I think, Logan, you have some good points here. I think the animatronics are the highlight of the ride. They're very fluid. They're very realistic. The faces don't creep me out as much, but I know exactly what you're talking about. You're looking at a three-dimensional figure with a projected right. two-dimensional face, and that's a little strange. The thing that bothers me is the thing that Will touched on, and that's that aside from the really good animatronics, there's not a lot to see in the ride.
Yeah.
There are long stretches where you know, like on the lift hill where there's nothing to see. There are long stretches in between yeah. the animatronics where essentially you're looking at, you know, gray walls and either very limited or no scenery. And the thing that bothers me the most about that is it's not like Disney doesn't have the money to do
that. Right.
Right.
They had the money and they had the time. It's a choice. Right. And the choice isn't like, oh, we had to open this thing in June and we just ran out of time. This is what we got. The calculation that Disney made was this is going to be good enough for the people who just paid $120 to get into the park.
Right.
And that's the thing that bothers me.
Yeah, you didn't feel that way.
It was a good enough move, not a we are going to make the most epic ride of all time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying they need to spend $300 million on it, but and this is a good question. How much more would it have cost to actually put scenery in between the animatronics?
Yeah, because yeah, and you're saying it's that. Gray is walls.
Is that $50 million? Because if it's $50 million, we'd have the conversation. If it's $1 million, I mean that's pocket change. You would do it for $1 million.
If it's $50 million. I could quote them a lower number and make yeah, it right. a little bit more awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the remaining $49 million. So,
and that's the thing, right? I mean, Disney's not opening a ride every week, right? Let's say it's $10 more million, and I understand every project has a budget and you got to set limits, right? But for a company like Disney, who is just you know raking in the dough. And for whom the theme parks are an integral part of the entire brand, to say no, this is where we're going to stop, and where they put the stopping line doesn't make sense to me, right? If this was Disney Springs and it was a restaurant, you know there would have been scenery there because those things generate revenue. But the fact that the ride doesn't generate revenue directly, I think impacts the way that they look at things, and it shouldn't.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way about the exit as well, like the entry to the store. I know they've maybe jazzed it up in the last few weeks, but it was like a long hallway of legitimately nothing.
Yeah,
of walls.
It felt oddly long.
Right, like oddly long exit to nothing, and that was the only time that kind of like that didn't like what you said didn't necessarily register me when I was in the moment, but now thinking about it, it's there. But what did register with me was that exit feeling.
I said, this is a long hallway.
Long hallway till we got finally to the store. You know, and I did like the ride. So I'm one of those people who said I think it was really good. I enjoyed the transition, the way they did the backing up through Elsa's castle creation. I thought that was well done. But I could totally see your points. And here's the thing, we got there at rope drop and we probably made it over to Frozen. I don't know, we probably made it over there at 9:30, something like that by the time we got over there. And it was already broken down. and we came back an hour later and it was back open. But, and even it had some glitches while we rode it. Like Will brought up in a previous show, like Olaf had like a shiver.
Yeah, there was like a stutter to his animatronic.
Yeah, he wasn't
where his,
right.
It wasn't
a hitch
fluid.
In a step, a snake
right,
in his boot.
Right. Yeah, it was jittery.
When he first walked up.
And like then the now later, one. Like the later Olaf animatronic was flawless. Fine. And so you could tell something wasn't right. Can I also confess something right here? This is the safe place. This is now the third time we've talked about it technically, I think. Or no, second time, because we talked about it in the trip report and now this. I didn't know in the moment that the faces were projected.
Really? What'd you think they were? You thought they were animatronics?
I think I was trying to take everything in, and so it was like looking.
You weren't really looking
at them. And yeah, I wasn't staring at their faces. I think I was actually looking for things to like complain about, and I just tricked my mind. So I,
well, then good. Then I'm ready.
So I know a lot of people have brought that up, and I kind of felt dumb saying this, but I'll say it now. I legitimately, in the moment, didn't realize that they, first of all, I didn't think Disney would maybe do that, like project a face on there. But in my mind, it just kind of was fine. So.
All right. Well, I mean, and then Will and I did do, because we had my son with us, we did the meet and greet, and that thing was actually fantastic. I thought that the meet and greet with the princesses, they spent a ton of time with my son. The line was really cool. There was no wait. I mean, it was like a 10-minute wait, if that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if the line was 2 hours, I would have hated it. But you know, for that being, giving him a moment, I thought it was, I think you did it as well, Lynn. I thought that was a solid, you know, meet and greet type thing for the kid, for the characters.
I agree. The times that we've met Anna and Elsa before, my daughter and her friends have always said that it's the best character experience that they have. They spend a ton of time with the characters. They're really interested in you. Yeah. They tell stories. They tell jokes. They, you know, they learn more about you, stuff like that. And yeah. It's really good. And I did like the theming. It was pretty good.
Yeah, my son doesn't typically like the face characters in general. He just turns them off. Like, he doesn't – like, we've even met, like, the characters he likes, like – at like a Comic-Con, like, oh, look, there's Thor, and he'll freak out. He doesn't want to meet him. And you can even tell when he approached them, he was uneasy, and they were so good at, like, bringing him into it, and he loved it.
Yeah.
So I would say, I know we've talked about that on the show before, I won't spend too much time, but I'm glad that has a Lynn stamp of approval as well.
I also want to thank Lynn for the recommendation to try out Tiffin's.
Oh, yeah, we went to Tiffin's.
Oh, yeah, what'd you guys think? Yeah,
I really liked it. There was nobody there, and I guess the reason our waitress complained, she's like, it's because we're not on the annual pass thing. But I know they just added that for Tables in Wonderland, like just a couple weeks ago since we've been there. But it was dead. I mean, there was no one there, and we were there kind of at prime dinner time, and I got that reservation maybe an hour before. So, I mean, it wasn't like we could have just walked up. And it was really good. I mean, I thought the food was solid. The decor, it definitely had a flair that took you a little out of Disney World. And I really liked it. I mean, overall, my food was solid.
What did you have?
You had the
pork tenderloin with the mole.
Yeah, and I thought that was really good. I didn't have the, whatever you call it, with tamale. The tamale with it, just because of this stinking diet I'm on. But Will had it. He said it was okay. And then what did you have?
I had the lamb chops. Yeah.
And then...
Just think of the lamb.
It was really good.
And then we also had that octopus appetizer, and we text you. And that was pretty great.
Yeah.
If you like that kind of thing. It kind of weirded me out. The taste was good, though. All right. Well, we'll move on past that. And Soarin', we'll keep this short. Soarin', if no one had ever been on Soarin', I feel like it's a really good ride.
I disagree.
Now being on it, it's so disorienting and weird. And the CG is, when you told me there was going to be CG, I was like, okay.
Yeah, you were very generous to them.
I was expecting it to be like, okay, just the bears are CG. It's like, no, I think I'm just looking at CG. Like, there was not a camera
shot made.
It was
like a computer
made.
Game.
Every scene has vast amounts of CG.
Right, and then the curving issue, like, we were not on the far end. Like, we were kind of in the middle. We were on the far end car, but the first seat. So, you know, the closest to the middle without being in the middle, and it still looked weird. Like, it still distorted.
That's another example of Disney just not caring enough.
Well,
I mean, here's the thing. Disney knows the exact curvature of that screen.
Right.
It's not like it changed, right? It's not like somebody surprised them and said, hey, guess what, guys? Now it's eyeball shaped, right? They didn't care enough to change to alter the projection in a way that makes it look more flat.
Right.
And that's, I mean, come on.
No, I agree. I mean,
they're a freaking movie company.
It's shockingly bad when you're there.
You probably could not go to Glendale and swing a broom without hitting six guys who can fix that tonight.
Problem. Right.
Yeah. Using their home PC setup. Right.
Right.
It baffles me.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was bizarre. I mean, I think that's the only like way to explain it. Like, it felt odd. It didn't feel right. I didn't like that every scene had like a jump scare. You know, my son had never ridden it before, so this is his first time on first time on Soarin', because he just wasn't tall enough. And he was like, what I was expecting was sort of Soarin', you know, the original, where it's like, oh, it's very pleasant, and there's a couple fun moments. But every scene having this like near miss, like almost terrified him. Cause he's like,
hey, he kept being like, hey, Uncle Will, remember when we almost hit that seagull?
Remember when we almost hit an airplane?
We almost died?
Yeah. So you could tell, like, register, like, this kid's favorite ride is the Haunted Mansion, but I think he's more scared of Soarin'. And he still liked it, but it's like they like, oh man, people love that golf ball. Let's do it every time. but okay, let's get to some questions because I know that's what you guys pay the big bucks to hear. You don't pay any bucks. What am I kidding? If you do want to pay some big bucks, you know how to reach me. All right, so let's get to some questions. This is from Sarah from Nashville. She says, 8 days in Disney coming up in October, and Mama needs new shoes. Any recommendations? I think we've done this one before. Was thinking of trying an athletic sandal versus tennis shoes. So, Lynn, we'll defer to your expert advice first.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, make sure that you break them in before you go.
Absolutely.
You don't wanna try that. I do. The problem with open-toed sandals is strollers run over your feet. And you have a little bit more protection, you know, also from curbs and you know, kicking rocks and stuff like that. I kind of prefer a closed-toed shoe. But if you can find a sandal that that protects each of the little piggies, then I think you're fine.
Yeah. All right. Will, I know you're
also two pair helps because it's going to rain.
Yes. Good call.
Yeah. I'm personally against the tennis shoes. I just don't like my feet being constricted. But I would not recommend what I do, which I go flip flops. You're gonna end up with a blister unless you're me that has just one giant callus for feet. So I would probably say don't do what I do. Maybe get something. I do like the open, non-restricted. So I'd say get something like Chacos or something that are meant to be walked in.
What do I wear?
You wear Keens. Yeah,
I am an advocate for this brand that I forgot the name of.
They're like a hybrid shoe sandal.
Yes. Because I'm either tennis shoes or Keens. Like, I can't do the flip-flop. It'll tear me up. But the Keens, if you want something breathable and it's solid, it's kind of like people hate them. It's kind of like the Croc bottom, but it's thick and it actually has like a groove to it like a regular shoe. Check out Keens.
They're really comfortable. Like, a lot of people wear them for hiking.
Hiking, yeah.
Yeah.
So it does have that support, but still kind of open. I really enjoy my Keens, so I would. That's my recommendation.
So don't take Will's advice.
Well, you can.
Just go with the others.
All right. Let's grab another question. Let's see. Let's find a good one here. Oh, this one's about a little off-property action. So let's talk about that for a second. This is from Patrick. He says, my 8-year-old son saw a YouTube video for Wonderworks and probably won't let it go on our next trip. Worth it? Are there discounts, ways to maximize a visit, amount of time to a lot? So, Lynn, how often have you spent time in Wonderworks?
I've never been.
Never been.
Isn't that the weird building?
It's the upside down building. Yes. Okay, then Will and I will talk.
I went there for a birthday party.
Yeah.
I think it was
how long are we talking now?
Was it my 12th birthday party?
It was wild. Your 40th?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it was my...
Last time I went, we just did laser tag. It was wild.
Yeah, you and I went not... You weren't in Orlando for my 12th birthday, I don't believe. I went to Wonderworks. I remember there's probably the most memorable thing of it, other than it being kind of a rip-off Ripley's Believe It or Not, is...
Rip-off.
It's like Ripley's Believe It or Not with activities.
Yeah, more education.
Yeah, so I remember getting to throw a baseball, and it clocks it, like how fast you're throwing, so that's cool.
You get to touch a big, what do they call those things, like the big ball that has like electrodes so your hair stands up?
Oh, yeah,
like a static electricity thing?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of those kind of activities. Tornado, hurricane simulators.
Yeah, it's like a kind of like a science center, but not...
But disguised.
Yeah.
And they also, I believe, have laser... At least they did have laser
tag. It's fun. Like, I would say if you're getting off property, it's probably a much... I mean, it's definitely cheaper than a park ticket.
Yeah.
It could be a fun half day.
Yeah, half day. Yeah. It's not small.
Yeah.
If I remember right. I mean, it's been a long time.
Several stories. If it's the same as it was, you know, almost 20 years ago.
It's owned by Morgan & Morgan for the people.
Is it really?
I believe so.
Is it really?
I believe he started Wonderworks. We'll Google that, see if that's actually true.
Or after the law thing.
I believe he did start, because there's one in Pigeon Forge. Like, there's one in each state they kind of represent. So Wonderworks, okay, there's another related question to this about off-property. So let's get those two back.
One second. I'm going to give you the ticket prices of Wonderworks right now.
All right.
$24.99 for adults.
Oh, nice.
And $16.99 for children. And they still do have the laser tag.
Yes.
So,
it's actually a pretty good laser
tag. Is extra. But if you get the laser tag tickets combo with that, it's $27.99. It's only a couple extra bucks. I would spring for that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the old
history of.
All
right, well, you do it. You can just confirm or deny my thoughts. This is from Amanda, I believe in Chicago. Yeah, Amanda in Chicago. She said, I'm heading to Orlando late December this year before a cruise. Should we spend a day at SeaWorld or Legoland? should we expect crazy crowds? Kids like Legos and aquariums, ages 6 and 10. Your SeaWorld comments from a previous episode surprised me as they were somewhat negative. We've never been to either just Disney. They have no interest in scary rides, roller coasters, or Harry Potter, so Universal is out of the picture. So I guess it's thoughts on a 6 and a 10-year-old at either Legoland or SeaWorld. I'll let you go, Lynn, unless you
For the 6-year-old, Legoland is definitely the target market, yeah. Tons of stuff to do there. Crowds shouldn't be too bad. It is kind of a hike to get there from the Disney area.
Yeah.
I mean, like, probably looking at like 30, 45 minutes of driving. But I think in terms of the attractions and who they're geared for, the 6-year-old will enjoy it. We typically say 3 to 8-year-olds for Legoland, so the 10-year-old might be a little old for that.
Yeah.
But I would recommend Legoland over SeaWorld just because I don't think SeaWorld's doing all that well right now.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I have been to both recently with my 3-year-old son, and he'll be close to 4 now. And we were on I'd say we're on the early end of Legoland, and he really loved it. They have great little kid stuff, but they also have great, sort of like you said, like the 6 and 7-year-old stuff. I think that's the target, and it is a lot of fun. If you like the Lego movie, they have great interactions with characters. It's not ever really too busy, I don't think. And it's fun. Don't expect Disney when it comes to the way things run. The cast members, or what do you call them, their employees, are different. They're more, I'd say, traditional theme park type employees. Some are very young, some are very old. And there's still like the Cypress Gardens area you can walk around. So that's kind of cool, kind of old Florida. But yeah, it is a little bit of a hike to get there. We didn't even make it on my last trip with my boy, and he didn't even really mention it. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. He enjoyed it in the moment. It's not Disney, but I would go with Legoland over SeaWorld because SeaWorld last time we went was just depressing. And I mean that in all honesty. I would support you going to SeaWorld because I want them to do better than they're doing. But, you know, they're failing at PR and they are showing it. And there's some stuff that I just didn't like that SeaWorld does now. Like they have a penguin encounter, but instead we're used to just be able to like, oh, let's go see the penguins.
The penguins, you know, it's a thing.
Now it's like, I wait in line an hour to do a ride part. And then I go see the penguins and they were like, yeah, yeah. It's like, well, how can I just go see the penguins? I have a 3-year-old here who just wants to see penguins. You can't, I'm sorry. I'm like, well, you know, you start to take away a little bit of the fun of it being
kind of the zoo aspect,
right? Where it's just, you don't have to wait in a lot of long lines. And that part is kind of was not that fun there.
I have a couple things to say. First, according to a Orlando Weekly profile of Mr. John Morgan from September 6th of 2000, he was the owner of WonderWorks at the time.
Yeah.
Can't confirm the status of the ownership of WonderWorks.
He was a founder of...
But it did say that. But moving on, I haven't been to Legoland, so I can't speak to that. But I do want to have a little soapbox moment and say, I agree with Logan. I think people should support SeaWorld. It was one of my favorite things growing up about Orlando. Say what you will about, yes, they are failing at PR, but I think that they have done actually a lot of good things for conservation. So despite what a lot of people might want to believe or what they're going to try to do in the future, If you're looking at it, I would say support it out of the principle of it. I know that may not be a popular opinion, but that's mine, so I'm going to say it.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. Moving on, we've got a question from Brandon on Facebook. He's kind of a regular questioner. He
yes.
likes to know answers, doesn't just talk to us.
Also helps that he's literally outside the door.
So Brandon wants to know... We want to know about the Disney Visa character meet and greet. How do we access that, and do we need to make reservations? And Sarah on Facebook commented and said, "I ditto." She wants to know the same. So we
those
got
that are
two
new
folks.
To the card, the
Visa card program.
How does that work? I know I've seen it, but how does it work?
That's a super interesting question. So I actually have a Disney Visa.
No answer. No.
No. So there are special areas, special meet and greet areas set up that are only for Disney Visa cardholders in each of the parks. And I think it's in Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. Is it in every? I don't think it's in every park.
Every park. I know it's in those two.
Yeah, I specifically saw it at Epcot this last trip.
Yeah. So you'll show your Disney Visa card and to get in. So it's almost like having a Magic Band, but you show your Visa card, you get into this exclusive meet and greet. Area. It's in Inventions West, but it's not all day. It's only for certain hours, right? It's only afternoons.
I think so. I mean, again,
I love how you pitched that with the question mark in. Question mark in.
No. As though we know. So the last time I was there, it was like,
there are limited hours for sure.
Yeah. So it's not like you can do it first thing in the morning. I think it's like noon or one to seven. So you know, basically the closing time of the of Interventions at over at the studios. I think it's a Star Wars thing. But anyway, show your Visa card, get in, exclusive characters. Because it's a Disney Visa thing, the lines aren't that long.
Yeah. Is it usually pretty good characters?
It depends. I think it
Daisy Duck.
I don't remember who the characters were now off the top of my head. Yeah, I don't remember the characters.
All right. Here's another.
Sorry.
We can't really help you much other than it's there. let's take this one from Twitter. Will, why don't you read that one too? And a bunch of people asked this question.
All right. This is from Daffy Stardust on Twitter.
Isn't that the David Bowie album?
Daffy Stardust play guitar.
yeah. So thoughts on rumored Sugar Rush attraction that would replace Stitch's Great Escape?
Yeah. So a lot of talk about that.
Will WDW get light cycles?
Well, that was like two questions, but all right. A lot of people have asked.
You didn't say you can't have two.
I know. A lot of people have asked about this rumor. And look, I'm starting to be like the anti-rumor man because I feel like half of them are made up by websites that are just trying to get clicks. But beyond them, that one has kind of sprung some interest. And I know Jim has talked about it before as well. What do you feel about this Sugar Rush idea?
I think anything's better than what they have there now. It's the lowest rated attraction in Walt Disney World by unofficial guide readers, has been for like a decade. They could really, at this point, they could put cast members in there with very strong lights doing shadow puppet shows, and I would say it's better than.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it happens. I love Wreck-It Ralph, and it'd be fun, but it's never confirmed until it's confirmed, but we'll see what happens. I tried to get my son to do Stitch this time because there was no wait, and it was blazing hot. And I explained to him what would happen, and he was like, not a chance. He's like, so what is it? I was like, well, you go into this room, and they put this harness over your
and done.
And then he's like, and then what happens? Like, then it feels like Stitch is jumping on you and burping on you. And he's like, what? And I was like, yeah. It's like, no, not doing that. I was like, okay, all right, we'll go back to the People Mover and enjoy ourselves. All right, you got another one, Will?
So this is from Noter Blaine Jacob on Twitter. Do you think people plan around low crowd numbers, and so many do that it actually changes the numbers of like on, say, touring plans, the crowd calendar.
The only crowd calendar worth following.
Right.
Thank you. I think people themselves probably don't plan as much around the crowd calendar. We know just based on the number of people in parks, you know, that it's like a couple percent of them have even looked at an unofficial guide or touringplans.com, you know, 2, maybe 3%. That's not enough to change the dynamics of the crowd. I think what you do see, though, is Disney is super aggressive about filling in every available day that's you know, slow day in the calendar. And we saw this in the last couple of weeks. Disney put out a series of spontaneous sales that
right.
for the rest of the and I heard from travel agents that morning, like starting at 4 a.m. like, hey, we weren't expecting this. Here's the offer. You know, and here are the details, and here, you know, here's how we think it's going. The Disney's got a very good analytics team that whose job it is to maximize hotel revenue. And I mean, I'm not joking. Some of them are actually PhD scientists. They have published papers in this area. They are doing everything that they can to make sure there is no more, you know, slow time. The thing that you have to watch out on the slow time is, you know, occasionally there are just times when people can't go. So maybe the hotels are 80% full instead of 95% full.
Right.
You have to look at that coupled with things like how Disney manages the capacity of very big rides like Space Mountain and Splash Mountain, where they can add and subtract trains. Those two things together are really what's going to influence the wait times that you see.
Do you think sometimes, and I'm inferring this kind of from what you just kind of said, do you think they sometimes try to make it feel more full by subtracting trains so that people don't leave and say, man, that park was empty?
I think so. I'll say this. There was an interesting phenomenon that we noticed this year in the Animal Kingdom where the actual time you wait in line this year was much less than the posted wait time as compared to last year. So wait times were inflated at the Animal Kingdom way more than you would have expected if you just looked at last year's numbers. Huh. Now, we all know that Disney inflates the wait times,
right,
for customer satisfaction makes reasons, but this year it was way more inflated. So, you know, if you wanted to speculate on why that might be, one reason might be, you know, they were charging peak season tickets and wanted to make the lines look very long. You know, or it's, you know, maybe they're managing some sort of customer service where they said, you know, if we say the posted wait is 70 and you only wait 40, you're going to feel really good about saving 30 minutes. My perspective would have been, tell the customer what the real time is and let them make the decision about whether it's worth.
Right. And so I could schedule what I'd be doing next, like restaurant.
I mean, 70 minutes means you can't go to the next show, right? You can't get in.
Could there also be a little bit of that of people getting out of line, or they're expecting it surging right now because a bunch of people are rushing into line, and then people see the 70 and stop going in the line? I mean,
the bulking thing you typically don't see, especially at headliner rides, you typically don't see till you get to like 150, 200 minutes, somewhere in there. Like for Soarin', for example, I mean, there are instances where Soarin's wait time will get above 200 minutes and people will still get in line.
Right.
The thing
good
about
to
getting,
see a curved screen.
Yeah, exactly. So why?
Reverting.
So yeah, I don't think it's so much, you know, bulking, especially during summer when, you know, there's nowhere else for you to go.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we have one more question that I think is a good place to wrap it up, because people are asking about this. This first part of it came in from our friends over at the BYOCB podcast, the BYOCB show. I can recommend them if you are, it's not safe for the little ears, so I will say that. I was on a show that is safe, so if you want to listen to the show that I'm on, I told them I would promote it if they kept it clean, and they did.
BYOCB, just so people aren't...
Yeah, bring your own craft beer.
Right, and so it is related to alcohol,
but
so
the show I'm on is not.
Right, I'm just trying to give a heads up so that people aren't surprised.
I'm only telling you because I like the guys, they're generally really good guys, but... some of them are going to probably be out at our De Los Puertos Festival. But I will say that if you want to hear my show, it's clean. The other show's not, so don't listen to the kids. And they do them from bars around town, craft breweries, anything around Orlando. So it's a good local podcast. But they're all Disney freaks as well as us. And they had a question specifically, and a bunch of people asked this question, so I'll wrap it up with this. This is, we all know about the Main Street parade going away, the electrical parade. What is the best location to watch if planning an 8 p.m. arrival? So if you're getting there late because you just want to see the parade, for one last time till they bring it back. Or unless you don't go to Disneyland, where do you think you should go if you get in late?
So assuming the parade's at 9,
I would assume so. Let's say an hour.
I like the area in Frontierland.
Yeah.
You know where the candy shop is,
mm-hmm,
in Frontierland. There's a little area right there that you can stand in front of in the candy shop to keep the doors open so there's air conditioning blowing on your back.
Oh yeah, I've been to that spot.
Oh,
that's a good spot.
Yeah. So that's really good there. I would say something like that is, because it's also semi-covered depending on where you can get on there. If not, there's also quite a bit of space in front of the Frontierland Shoot and Arcade, and it goes back pretty far. You can sometimes get there last minute. The one downside to being on that side of Frontierland is you're stuck there through the end of the parade because
you get nowhere to go. You're roped off.
So I mean, if you want to ride, if you want to walk to the walkway between Frontierland and Adventureland and go on, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean or Jungle Cruise at night, that's fine. But don't think that you're going to get over to Fantasyland.
Right. I concur. We typically always watch, especially if we're going in late, the parade from Frontierland. And I typically always end up around Frontierland around that time and get stuck. So that's mainly what happens. I get stuck. I can't move. So I'm like, oh, we'll sit and watch the parade.
It's pretty a night. Yeah.
No, I like it.
I mean, what's more to say than backdraft air conditioning?
Okay.
Sounds like the best thing in the world.
There you go. It's very nice.
Yeah.
All right. So Frontierland. But that did beg the big question. And again, it's a rumor mill thing, and Disney's saying Paint the Night ain't coming, but yeah, we'll see. How do you feel about it going away? And what, if you were to speculate, what do you think is going to happen?
I think they're not going to have a parade for a while. They're not going to bring Paint the Night out because it's already scheduled for Disneyland for December.
Yeah.
So it could just be that Disneyland is not going to have a parade for a while. I would have said that Magic Kingdom not having a parade for a while makes sense if Disney was going to start up Rivers of Light, you know, in the October timeframe, and they wanted to essentially force people to go to the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, you know, we should live so long as to see Rivers of
Light. Right. Well, my only thing with it, and this is just my pure speculation, is they're not going to put out a parade between now and certainly not in the end of the year. Cause you have all of the Halloween special events and Christmas. So you're going to have nighttime stuff happening. So if you want to see a nighttime parade, you're going to have to pay for it at Disney, but it is stuff they're already doing. So they're going to be doing, you're still going to have your nighttime Christmas parade. You're still going to have your nighttime Halloween parade, both of which are pretty darn good. I enjoy both of them. But that being said, I could see, you know, with Main Street returning to Disneyland in January, we'll see maybe, and this is just pure, I don't even see the rumor on it, but if I was to guess if they were going to do Paint the Night or anything like it at night, we'd see spring, summer of next year, some big announcement of this is coming, because they don't need it right now. And sadly, I love the Main Street Electrical Parade. I'm going to be excited to see it in Disneyland next time I get to go. But you're right, it doesn't necessarily need it. And that's kind of my thoughts.
And Magic Kingdom is averaging 56,000 people a day. That doesn't need another parade.
Right. And I wish the other one wasn't. I mean, the problem is the 3 o'clock parade I always miss because my boy is always missing.
Yeah.
But, you know, one day we'll get to see. He always like, I want to see that giant dragon. I was like, yeah, Brian, you got to get up.
I like this idea about Disney essentially making people choose the hard ticket event parade. Because if you think about it, there's starting in September, like every other day between that and the end of the year, there's a Christmas party or a Halloween party. Right,
right? Exactly. So that would make you, if you want to be part of that nighttime thing, that's what you get.
Totally makes sense. That's good.
See, that's why I'm on this show now. I get the speculation.
Big bucks.
That's why I get the big bucks. That's and to me, that's just my thought too. And I am hoping this time though, because this has been my weird Disney dream, is that there's a small chance that I will be down at Disney Halloween, like the day of Halloween. Gonna go to I got my tickets just in case. I got Halloween, which I'm sure is insane, party tickets on Halloween. And then we're supposed to be staying the following week, and we're doing the first Christmas party.
You know how many years Logan has been talking about wanting to do this, Lynn? I've heard
a decade
from you saying,
I just love that idea.
I'm going to go to Halloween and then Christmas.
And then I'm done with my holidays. No, I'm done.
Yeah, so the week of October 31st to November 8th is the way to do it.
Right, that's what I think we're going to try. I'm definitely going to be there for the first Christmas party, because we're going to be there right now November 2nd through November 9th, and I'm trying to convince my wife, like, let's just go. And my son's birthday is on the 30th, and my girl's birthday is November, so it's like, we'll do a party like before, and then he'll have Halloween in the park. It'll be great, man. He'd probably be all for it, except for he's dead set on Chuck E. Cheese, so. He's like, exactly. Much easier. They cleaned it up for you. It's nice.
Better animatronics than the Frozen ride.
Oh. Only one animatronic left our Chuck E. Cheese. He's a broken old Chucky. Sad.
Broken old Chucky.
That's a new shirt. Broken old Chucky.
Chuck E.
Yes. Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it, Lynn. Thank you so much, Lynn, for coming in and taking over the show and being a part of, with Terry gone, it's nice to have another voice to hear.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Again, special thanks to Off to Neverland, a great travel agency. If you want to plan your next vacation, the website is gotoneverland.com. Guys, we are so close, a month and a half, less than that, from De Las Puertas Magic Media and Music Festival. If you're a Disney fan, if you're a Disney Parks fan, we want to see you out there. Reach out to me. Use the discount code DLPTALENT10 and get 10% off your tickets right now. That's DLP, like De Las Puertas, TALENT10. Use that as your coupon code to get 10% off. And we really want to see you guys out there. If you're planning on going, you haven't made the commitment to buy your ticket, just do it. Makes us feel better. Makes you feel better. Makes the venue feel better. You're going to hear Off Kilter. You're going to hear American Martian, formerly Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, and so many more. The British Invasion, the Dream Finder, and lots of surprises and fun.
Four for a dollar.
You can go see all these great bands under one roof for the first time ever. Come and support them too. You know, these guys haven't been working at Disney for a little while, and they are really excited to see all of you out there and show that you support these great acts beyond just their time in the park.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful performing arts center.
It's too nice.
It's too nice for us, yes. For us scrubs. I'm going to have to, shower and shave
a little
before. Yeah, maybe throw my own little version of Dapper Days. Just me.
Dapper Will.
Only one. Dapper Will. Festival. That's the follow-up fest. That's the next day.
Here they are. Terry Weaver and Dapple Will.
Folks, so you're going to love it.
All right. Tickets are on sale right now. It's a month and a half away. Get your friends together. Go on. Take a road trip. Fly down. Use those Southwest points. You know you got them just sitting there. Or obviously, if you're local, we want to see you out as well. The website is dlpfest.com. dlpfest.com. Come and join us at De Las Puertas. Special thanks to the greatest band of podcasting and performing Headline in the Night at De Las Puertas, Off Kilter. Go to their website, offkilter.net. And special thanks to everyone who listens. Because you're special. And I love you. And I appreciate you. And if you have a trip report and you want to maybe share it one day, reach out to me. And hey, guys, I'm just going to throw this out there. This is Will's probably going to cut this out because I'm rambling. We've toyed with an idea of ways that you guys can help us support the show. Really unique, really different, not what you've seen from other shows. I don't really want to give it all away because I think it's more important to the people that really care. I don't want to be on here shilling for money right now. I want to hear your thoughts on some ideas we have working. If you just want to engage in the conversation, if you're interested at all in helping us out and getting some really great exclusive stuff, and again, I don't want to spoil it, I want you to reach out to me any way you can. You can do it through the Twitter account. That's at WDW Today Podcast. Through Facebook, you know how to get there, or just email me personally or send me a message on Facebook. I just want to talk to you guys and see your thoughts on some ideas I have. And I really appreciate everyone who supported the show since we took over. It's meant a lot. We are approaching 1 million downloads since we've taken over, and it's been awesome to have you guys all along for this. I'm sounding like I'm crying, but my voice is cracking. I'm crying. That's what it is. Have you guys all along for this adventure. All right, that's going to do it. I know that sounded weird, but I don't really care. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
That wasn't Terry Weaver, and that was Lynn Testa, and we will talk to you on the next show, which I guarantee you will come next Wednesday, and it'll be episode number
1527.
1527. We'll do it that time. We'll talk to you on the next show.